Hello and welcome to this episode of the Yellow and Blues podcast. We're recording this episode just between the two games between India and Australia. As usual, I'm joined by my co-host Venkat. Hello Venkat, how are you?
Hi Srini, I'm doing very well, thanks.
Good weekend, you know.
Yeah.
An early finish for India Australia, and then followed up by India Pakistan on the T20.
Of course, it was a tense weekend, I have to say. Not so much for the test, but definitely for the India-Pakistan Women's World Cup fixture. I think that was more closer than India-Australia. But yeah, it got over in 3 days. Probably the pitch must be a rank tunner.
Yeah. Well, more than a rank tunner, I think it's they probably used two different pitches. One when Rohit Sharma was batting. And then, especially like the third day post lunch session, is completely different pitch that was the brought in to make sure that Australia were like bowled out in a single session.
Yeah, I think it's more of a batting collapse. I mean, when you have fast bowlers picking up a couple of wickets, I think that was bowlers did fantastically well. I think it's the batting that let Australia down, and India, you know, captain's knock. You can't complain about it.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at that. You know, interesting. We'll come and look at India's bowling in both innings. Let's start with the Australian selection conundrum. I think when we did the podcast a couple of weeks ago, we said like in Australia or sort of batting heavy than, you know, bowling, given the fact we said there's no Hazelwood, there's no Mitchell Starc, Green not available to bowl as well. I must say I was surprised that, you know, while India went with the five bowler strategy, Australia went with just four.
Yeah, I mean they thought you know, the part-time spinners could do the job. Obviously they did use them in bits and pieces here and there, but that didn't pay very dividends. I think Labuschagne bowled towards the end of second day as well, tried to do, but they were quite, not consistent. I mean, they're not proper bowlers at the end of the day. And you have to say that, you know, some of them, they would have been counting on Green to be fit. He would have definitely made it into the team. As well as Pat Cummins, I mean, not Pat Cummins, and Josh Hazelwood, I always get confused.
Yeah, it's just looking at it, like, you know, the two spinners for Australia bowled almost 50 overs apiece. Nathan Lyon bowled 49, Todd Murphy bowled 47, and that's just in one innings.
Yeah. Yeah, that just clearly goes to show that. I mean, Pat Cummins was really off colour when he started off his spell. The difference was quite stark. I mean, I woke up to watch the game. You could see suddenly different ball wide off the leg side. You know, throw it, Sharma clipped a couple of them for four. I think when you start off on a back foot in terms of bowling, especially against the batting lineup that India have got, you can see that is one. And the other reason that their bowling is off colour, I would say, is also how much runs our tailenders scored. When Shami hits a 40-odd, 39-odd, whatever, and then you have lower-order Akshar Patel, Jadeja, you know, trying to play their thing, you could see that as a bowling unit, Australia was suffering.
Yeah, the fact that, you know, when Jadeja was out, India with 328, I think. From there on, we still further went on to score another
328. Yeah, right. Sorry.
Yeah, went on to score another 72 runs for the last two wickets.
Yeah,
with just like Shami and Siraj company for Akshar Patel.
Absolutely. I mean, see, I would also want to say, you know, when Srikar Bhagat was getting out, got out, it was 240. Let's say Rohit Sharma got out, it's 229. You would expect, you know, six down, Rohit Sharma out. You have Bharat, who was dismissed quite cheaply. And then you have 240 for seven to 400 all out. That's a lot of runs between the tail. I think that's really sealing the deal. If it was 260, 270 all out, it would have been much different in terms of how Australia approached the game. I don't think when they looked at 400, they said, okay, we are not even in the game.
Yeah, but that was still surprising for me. I know when they saw 400, they're saying they probably would have said we're not even in the game. But rolled over for 91 in the third innings. I read this or heard this somewhere. Sunil Gavaskar basically saying, like, you know, more than the pitch and Indian play bowlers, etc., the Australian media basically got into the head of the Aussie players, you know, talking about all the pitch. And this was just on the back of, you know, there was a Twitter picture about how the pitch looked, kind of thing. And it completely all hell broke loose, saying, like, the pitch was doctored and this, that, and everything else, you know. So much focus on the pitch. If it's really properly analyzed, Those bits that they're talking about, the rough outside, the left-handers talked about, barely made a dent. I mean, the simple fact is, like, you know, Akshar Patel, a left-hand batsman, scored just shy of, like, the entire Australian innings. The second innings scored 91. Akshar Patel scored 84 on his own as a left-hander. So you're talking about, like, you know, between him and Ravindra Jadeja, two left-armers, similarly, they scored about 154 compared to, like, you know, Australia's 177 in the first innings. So if you can have two of India's left-handers scoring just about enough runs as the entire team scored, or one of them scoring just about enough runs the entire team scored, you know, it's got nothing to do with the pitch and the left-armer.
Absolutely. I mean, the other thing that stood out in my view is India had two LBW dismissals, and if you count, you know, the middle order dismissals as a couple of balls as well, so they've been pretty tight with their defense and how they played. Whereas Australia, if you go back to their dismissals, you have about six LBWs, and that's a high number. Now you can start another thread of contention by saying umpiring wasn't, even in the first innings, I think they had about four dismissals and then about three balls. I think their defense was clearly lacking, and then I think I don't know what to make out of it, but definitely the high percentage of dismissals. It's also
we've seen that in you know, when that 2-day pink test versus England in Ahmedabad. Again, there was a lot of talk there about, you know, pitch, etc. But the reality was, most of the batsmen, you know, the wickets that Akshar Patel took in that test was nothing to do with the ball turning. It was just all the straight balls. And I think this is the thing. English batsmen, Australian batsmen seem to come with the mindset of thinking, everybody says, like, no, it's a turner, it's a Bunsen burner in India.
Yeah.
The pitch spins, etc. And they forget about the straight ball.
Yeah, especially when Jadeja is bowling, right?
Yeah.
And Akshar Patel, they go dart it in, wicket to wicket, straight. It was almost on ODI line that they were bowling. They were not setting up batsmen to drive. No fancy field set. It was just attack on the stumps and hope they will miss one of these deliveries. And that's what happened, really.
Especially if you looked at the second innings, the dismissal of, you know, David Warner, Matt Renshaw, Pete Hanscombe, Alex Carey.
Yeah.
All of them were, like, you know, just straight balls from Ashwin. They were not, like, you know, any major turn. The pitch kind of crumbling, puff of dust coming all over. The ball staying up and down, you know, two pace, low bounce. None of those, you know, it was, there was low bounce across. That was given, you know, the ball barely bounced. Well, I say barely bones. No, it was not like, you know, inconsistent bones.
Yeah, it is not inconsistent bones. It's definitely lower than what Australia are used to. You can't leave the ball and then get it on your pads. I don't think that was the case, but definitely there is enough bones. There was nothing rolling down the ground. I mean, some of the shot selections was horrendous. Curious case of Alex Carey. I mean, both innings, he was sweeping, you know, everything. I mean, I've watched that innings as well. It was almost hilarious that you can't have one solution to your this thing. Of course, I agree that he was the third highest scorer in their first innings. But, you know, that cannot be the modus operandi of you. I mean, a batter in India, especially. Yeah. You can't sweep. I mean, there are, you know, things like that. They had a tactical blunder in terms of their batting approach.
Past history has shown, you know, you go back many, many years ago, you'd say somebody like, I don't know, Graham Gooch, etc., who kept sweeping Indian spinners and scored lots of runs. Yes, the sweep works. But again, you know, the difference still being now in a DRS world, it's slightly different versus, you know, in a non-DRS world, where if you planted your foot way out and kind of swept, and you miss it and you get hit on the pad, you may not be given LBW. Yeah. Whereas now, you know, instantly, like, you know, get the DRS and you'll probably... the sweep, well, I think productive, but the likes of Ashwin, for example, is so much, so clever in terms of, you know, thinking bats and bowling. You keep playing sweep to him, he will come up. Whereas it's difficult to play against, definitely against Jadeja, not so much maybe Axar, but the speed at which Jadeja bowls, you know, trying to sweep him, is not going to be easy.
Definitely, I don't think. I mean, you know, whether it's bounce or no bounce, I think if you look at how Carey got out, ball didn't bounce at all. So, you know, he got out there. Again, you know, we there will be a lot of analysis. I think Jared Kimber did an entire series on how often people are not successful playing the sweep shot. He spoke about how that kind of epitomizes the Australian batting approach. I think this was always in the cards, right, Sridhi? I mean, we didn't expect the outcome to be any different than what it was. That India are expected to beat Australia, but it's important that they start off in a strong... I mean, Rohit Sharma, for his own good, scored a century in tough conditions. Against two spinners. The other guy I want to quickly mention was the debutant, Todd Murphy. I mean, he was fantastic to have that kind of confidence coming into India and bowling. And, you know, I think it also shows that Indian batsmen probably were slightly attacking him more than Nathan Lyon. So that could be some of the reasons for the wickets.
Yeah, I know, like, you know, people who are far more knowledgeable or watch the game a lot more in a sense, think, well, he's the real deal, you know, Todd Murphy, etc. But back to, like, history, I just think of something like a Jason Kreger, probably years ago, I remember, like, coming up, picking up a 7-4 in India, and then pretty much completely, like, you know, disappeared off the radar. So
you don't want that to happen, do you?
You don't want to. So, yeah. Well, ball to Todd Murphy, but I take it with a pinch of salt in terms of, like, saying, yeah, it's great, you know. But as I say, well, we'll see how it goes over the entire series. In some ways, you know, India are also, like, you know, known to do that. Indian batsmen, we just hype up, like, you know, the odd spinner.
Yeah,
and make him look like, you know, world beater.
So, yeah, of course, you know, that is there. I mean, I think even the commentators were talking about that, is that, you know, you don't, if you're a debutant, you don't want to be really very going hard on, you know, had on the debut, this thing, you don't want to peak too soon, if you know what I mean.
But it's just, I mean, the other thing we kind of, you know, touch upon is the fact that, yes, I mean, we touched about the bowlers and, you know, a lot more focusing up on Australia and stuff. Jadeja has come back, you know, it was so seamless. It was like his 5 wickets, the first innings, and then a 70. It was as if he was never been away. He just came back, started doing stuff. A little bit of controversy in between about the ointment and...
Yeah, and I think he was fined as well. I mean, he was slightly stupid about not informing the umpire. I think it would have been, it's one more, you know, clickbait and one more fodder for Fox News, I suppose, and Australian media. But beyond that, I don't think, you know, there was any malice to that particular.
Also thing. Interesting to see, like, you know, Michael Vaughan, you know, one of Fox Cricket's commentators. So if you like jumping up on the leg, no, that about the
that particular incident.
Yeah, now see, now it's like, come on, Michael, you know, well, you've seen there, like, you know, jelly beans and all of the everything else. So it's like saying, oh, I've never seen this thing, like, now this needs to be investigated of all the things. And more importantly, it's like every time, especially moral code and things like that, is something, or spirit of the game is something people like in Australia and England can never talk about, you know, for of all the things that they've done, Sandpaper Gate and what have you. There are some
they were covering that in aspect in great cricket as well. I mean, just because, you know, historically there has been some wrongdoing, that doesn't absolve India of you know, all that. But I get that message. I mean, of course, there is definitely some validity to this thing, but I don't think it is.
It's not about absolving, you know, saying like, oh, historically, but, you know, when you come in, don't come from a moral high ground saying like, you know, don't hold the moral high ground. You've got nothing to hold the moral high ground, you know, sort of. So, pick each one event on its own and say like, you know, look at it rather than coming from, you go to India, you know, pitch is down. This, well, yeah, that's what it is. You know, you go to Perth, that's the rest of the game. You play at Durban, the space, you play at Perth. There is, you know, you go to Super Sport Park, that's different. You know, you go to Trent Bridge, you go to Lords, there is a slope. You can't just complain like, you go to Lords, there is always a slope. Yeah, well, there is. That's just the nature of it. You come and play in India, the ball turns. Right. You know, you've just got to deal with it. Saying like, you know, I mean, even before this is Ian Healy saying all the stuff about, you know, if they prepare fair pitch. You can't get a fairer pitch than this, you know. When a team scores 400, then you know it's a good pitch.
I don't think that there is any question about that particular aspect of it. I think they, you know, they have to put this to their bed and move on to the next test.
Would you make changes for the next test for India? I mean, surely Australia will make changes. But obviously, Shreyas Iyer is fit now.
Shreyas Iyer is fit. Probably they might try giving him a game. I think because the pressure on Rahul is mounting. And, you know, I do feel that it is so much for his own good. Now there will be under immense pressure. Australia will definitely target him. There are voices within the community, commentator community, which says Rahul should be dropped. Venkatesh Prasad had tweeted about it. There was noises growing in the system.
If Rahul gets dropped, I would probably play Shubman Gill, not Rahul in Shreyas Iyer in place of Rahul.
Shreyas Iyer, yes. Yeah. But if you want to counter the spinners, especially if Todd Murphy is likely to be picked and Nathan Lyon, you know, that might go ahead in favor of Shreyas, the reason being he's perceived to be a better player of spin.
He is, but then in that case, I would. So basically, like, you know, Surikumar Yadav, Sky came in place of Shreyas Iyer. Shreyas Iyer comes back, you know, he's the man in form. Sky didn't score much, you know. It was like an anonymous debut for all, you know, in terms of his performance in this game. So I would just slot shares are back in place of Sky. I mean, I don't know, depending, you know, India may decide later, like, no, we don't want to change a winning combination and carry on. But yeah, to be fair, I would definitely get in Shubman Gill over Rahul. That's the change I would make.
Okay, I mean,
it's just like, you know, I know in, you look at it and think, well, Shubman Gill's got a lot, you know, a big career ahead of him. Yeah. So it's not that big a deal. But I would, because going into, more likely, like, you know, India will win the series, which means we go into Australia in June, to play against Australia in June in the Test Championship, or in July, isn't it? It's at Oval. Next, we need to look for tickets at the Oval. Put it in the calendar and look for tickets at the Oval.
We'd be lucky if we got it. I mean, I remember we were in the last World Test Championship. India was humbled by
but it's still a good day out at Southampton, so I think, you know, obviously this one we can go and do a better day out in London than probably in Southampton, so, you know,
with that weather, yes. The weather is horrendous.
I think we should mark our calendars, you know, after this test probably, and see, like, you know, when.
I don't want to place all my bets yet, Srini. You know, I'm the pessimistic self in me says, you know, let's not count our chicken.
I know your pessimistic stuff, you know, in terms of, I mean, when Australia were batting first and there were still 150 odd, you were like, oh no, 200 is going to be too much. I told you, it's like, get one. I mean, they didn't get like, how much was it? 15 runs, like 162 for 6, 177 all out. Like,
yeah. I mean, I'm thankful that happened, but at the same time, you can't count, especially with likes of Smith in their team, Labuschagne. These are big game players, you know, they are going to go ahead and.
Yeah, they're big game players, but I don't think, like, you know, they, other than Smith and Labuschagne, I just don't think anybody's equipped to play spin. Even Alex Carey, I mean, I know they brought in Matt Renshaw and Peter Hanscobow, the great spinners. Playing spin in Australia or England is completely different from playing spin in India. It's not. You can be a great player of spin there, because here, again, you go and bowl spin in England, you know, if it turns, it will keep turning. Whereas in India, the natural variation.
Yeah.
And fielders around, you know, it's completely different,
of course, and also the quality of bowlers. I was going to say,
so the mindset as well, as I said, like, you know, yeah, just moving on to Delhi, Farhasha Kotla again, it's always been known to be a venue for, you know, spin. You can never forget Anil Kumble's all 10 wickets there, so. It will favor the spin. I must say, like, you know, we said all of these things. I was surprised at how quickly Australia folded in, you know, losing all 10 wickets in a session on day 3. Was a bit of a surprise. There's also now other things now in terms of the third test has been moved from Dharamsala to Indore.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, somebody had, I think Fox Cricketer tweeted that Ashwin averages like 12 or something there. yeah, I mean, I don't think that was the reason why.
I think the reason, it probably should have been indoor in the first place. No, they should never set the Dharamsala, knowing that, you know, the grass kind of thing in outfield is not going to grow. It's a bit shame, like fans and etc. so late in the day changing it, you know. It's fans having tickets and everything, transfer, and that's a bit, you know, that could have been avoided just when it was a war. They should have, like, you know, boxed in saying, right, okay, we don't think this ground's going to be ready, and just when they did the scheduling.
I was watching, on that subject, you know, viewer experience apart, I think Virat Kohli had spoken about this long time back, sometime 3 years back, 4 years back, that India should have some set test venues, and that's it, like Chennai, Hyderabad, Bangalore, five test wickets, whatever, whether it's Kolkata, I'm not picking and choosing, but really the metro centers where there is more chances of you getting some footfall. There is population centers like Bombay can be definitely one of the test centers that you standard, they know that, even visiting teams know instead of,
I would probably slightly disagree with that in the sense of I get that, not this many tests, but more than five, simply because you then the variation, playing between everything from, weather to food to whole thing, playing from in Kolkata at Eden Gardens versus the new stadium at Ahmedabad or the old Motera as well, Ahmedabad is completely different, playing it at the Farasha Kotla versus playing at Chennai is completely different. Maybe not necessarily go to all of the smaller ones like the Kochis, Guwahatis,
Vishakhapatnams, etc.
But still, probably have 8 to 10 tests. 10 test venues probably. Dharamsala would be one of my choice of venues, in terms of just the picturesque nature of it.
It gives you swing. It's milder weather compared to other areas.
Yeah, Mohali, we always used to be Mohali used to be the pace one. Different in terms of that. So if you pick it like that, you could say Dharamsala, Delhi, Mohali. In the middle, you would say Mumbai, Bangalore, Chennai.
Yeah.
There's probably about 10 test venues on Mumbai, and then the rest of them, you do the white ball, all of the white ball, etc.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Anyway, moving on, we've got to look at the other action, that happened over the weekend, India-Pakistan women's game. In the end, I think, while the bowling sort of felt India let go of quite a few runs, from a batting perspective, in the end, it was a comfortable win, 7 wickets,
yep.
6 with an over to spare.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like bowling versus India, we're not, they still need to tighten up. I think if this same bowling or if this kind of runs was scored by Australia or England around the 150 mark, I would very much doubt that India will get there so comfortably.
Of course. I mean, I think, first of all, Smriti Mandana was missing in action. So that we started off with back foot, and hopefully she's fit enough for the next game. But, coming back to the bowling, yes, I think they just let them score too many runs. And also the field setting was not very proactive. It was reactive. You're always chasing the ball. The Pakistan batter, Bisla, she played really well, she played the field, and then, that kind of started. Once they were hit, the Indian bowlers didn't know what to do. The star bowler Deepti Sharma went for a fair few, even in the first few overs. So I knew that 150 was always on the cards, and rightfully so. We will struggle going forward if it was against a much better batting lineup and much better bowling lineup as well. So that's going to be our problem. But let's see. I mean, the chase was perfectly timed. There was a sense of calm. Richard Ghosh was really taking the attack towards the end. I really enjoyed watching it. Right? It's a good match to watch. It was tense. We came out on the victorious side, so which is good.
Richard Ghosh again. It's, we talked about selections and everything else, I think the last postcard in one of podcasts, and one of the things we said was, Jimmy, she hadn't quite got the form, so Jimmy Rodriguez, needs to come into form. She hadn't.
Yeah.
Similarly for Richard Ghosh as well, she hadn't quite done enough in the under-19 tournament. It was more Shefali Verma. So, Jimima Rodriguez, I think Jimima timed it perfectly well, as you say, Richa Ghosh as well, in the end. Bowling was a bit weak, with not, again, same thing with Pakistan, they didn't quite hit the lengths, etc., and went around. India's fielding generally is good. You know, I think this time around it was poor. If I remember lastly, it was the last over. You know, there was quite a few drops and, you know, misfield, etc.
It was inconsistent. Harmanpreet was with double teapot for a long lot of times than she would have liked. But there were glimpses of really good fielding as well. So it was mixed bag. Certainly the drop catches didn't help. But having said that, I'm sure that's something that they will fix. Some of the fielding attempts was fantastic, in fact. Full length dive saves of fours. And I watched the entire game and felt it was more mixed bag rather than, you know, generally bad throughout the game. Let's see how it goes. Perfectly timed on two fronts. If you were to go by the popular, you know, whatever, the IPL auctions are there, so they kind of go ahead and put up a good show. I don't think, you know, in that game, they would have even had it in the back of their mind because it was so, so much of tension. But definitely, you know,
and India Pakistan always like, you know, brings out IPL auction or not.
Yeah,
I'm sure it is. So the next game India have got is against West Indies on the 15th. So, well, England obviously top of the table. They've won both their games comfortably. So India play West Indies is the next one, and then India have got England, I think, on the Saturday.
So those
two, I think the India-England one, as we said last time around, potentially could decide who tops the table. And I know Australia played only one game, but surprisingly to see Sri Lanka on top of the table and New Zealand right at the bottom. So,
yeah. New Zealand lost it for, you know, like they had a shocking batting collapse with Australia.
With South Africa as well.
Yeah, I think that's kind of dented. I mean, 67 and 70. Of course, they're going to be finding it really difficult with that kind of negative run rate coming back up.
That's the thing. You know, I was almost expecting, like, you know, Australia and New Zealand to go through potentially South Africa, but I'm a bit surprised. I must say, that first game itself, Sri Lanka winning over South Africa, close game, you know, they just won by 3 runs.
Yeah.
Australia, seem head and shoulder above, winning by like 97 runs against New Zealand. England similarly seem to be like, you know, in cruise control mode.
Yeah, Englanders are bossing it, at least in this group. But let's see how it goes. I mean, it is going to be easy if Sri Lanka were an opponent. I don't know if they're suddenly, you know, kind of up their game, or was it just, you know, sometimes you have these close games that are thing going in our favor. If Sri Lanka do end up coming to the top, or even South Africa, I think Australia will have it slightly easier than New Zealand. This is based on how their, you know, their historical form has been. But you know how it is in ODI.
Currently, like, they are comfortably, like, you know, chasing, Australia are chasing against Bangladesh, 108 to win with 52-41. So, seems like, you know, they'll get through there comfortably. And then their next game is against Sri Lanka. That will sort of change how the table looks. I mean, huge. And this is where, you know, even though points for Sri Lanka have got, I think South Africa have got, like, because they beat New Zealand significantly, their net run rate is quite high, almost like 1.5 as opposed to Sri Lanka 0.4.
Yeah.
So, if, depending on how it goes, you know, in terms of whether you look at net run rate, head to head, and all of those things, Sri Lanka will sort of think, you know, if they can beat New Zealand, because the next two games are against Australia and New Zealand. South Africa must also think like, you know, they still have an opportunity. Well, once they've got Bangladesh to play and Australia to play, so close ones. It'll be interesting to see how it goes on that side of the table. This side of the table, on India's side, yeah, as I said, it's India England game that might decide, like, you know, who finishes on top.
Yeah, we have West Indies, which is going to be, yeah, England Pakistan could be crucial as well.
Yeah, to some extent, you know, this what you would call on this side of the group, it's all going to, like, you know, form.
Yeah,
according to the form book, if you like some. Let's see. You mentioned the other thing you mentioned while we're talking about the India Pakistan game was about the WPL auction. I mean, surely that's the next thing.
Yeah.
The dates have not actually, the fixtures have not been announced. I think the fixtures start on the 4th of March, the first game being Gujarat Giants versus Mumbai Indians. It's the start of the first game on the 4th of March. It'd be interesting, like, you know, a few double headers and things like that. Where does it finish? Like, you know, and then.
Yeah, I mean, the major headline news was Smriti Mandhana going to RCB. I think that's what everybody were waiting and watching as to what's going to happen.
Yeah, to number 18s, you know, the first thing that came out was Smriti Mandhana going to RCB. She was literally the first one that came out. And RCB, yeah, were like straight on and said, like, you know, 3.4 crores.
Yeah.
You know, getting her in and like her and.
Which is about 530, I mean, more than half a million, which is decent. Decent money, you would think.
You think, you look at, like, you know, RCB, I think they've always got, like, you know, these big players, Tough Body, B.T. Villiers, I mean, Virat Kohli, all those years ago, Chris Gayle, and now Smriti Mandhana. So the biggest names, if you like, you know, in cricket, RCB generally tend to like to get it there. So
yeah, of course. I think it's also today with their target market and how much money they are making out of merchandise, and there is a lot more to this economics than what meets the eye. Of course, they want to have the best player, and Smriti Mandhana by far is one of the best players I've watched across formats, across, you know, men's, women, irrespective of that. I mean, her strike rate is like way above the best.
It does feel like, though, that they seem to have the strongest squad, you know, with Smriti Mandhana, Sophie Devine, Elise Perry, Heather Knight.
Yeah.
And when Nikak, Megan Shute, you know, Renuka Singh, Richa Ghosh, all of those, you look at them and think they seem to be kind of, you know, heavy. Mumbai Indians got, Yastika Bhatia, Hayley Matthews, Harmanpreet Kaur, again, the two Indian white ball captains, you know, at Mumbai Indians.
Yeah.
Rohit Sharma and Harmanpreet, they like to pick up, I guess, Indian captains. But what has their team looked like? Yastika Bhatia, Hayley Matthews, Harmanpreet Kaur, Amelia Kerr, Natsivar Brunt, Pooja Ostrekar, Chloe Tyrone, Tryon from South Africa, and then Izzy Wong from Birmingham. They've got a decent team as well, Mumbai as well. It seems like, you know, unlike the IPL, you know, a lot of teams in the women's team, you know, they've got for a good split, except for, was it, I think the Gujarat Giants who've gone a lot, like.
Gujarat Giants have gone a lot. I think they've started.
Overseas heavy?
Yeah, Ashlyn Gardner's. They started with that. You know, Harlan Diol is playing Sneh Rana, but their top players their top money has all been spent on foreign players. So actually, understand first strike rate is like incredible. But really, Sophie Dunkley and then Beth Mooney, Annabel. But then really, Deandra Dotton, she has got loads and loads of experience in the West Indies team, hard hitting batter, but not much of Indian players, or not necessarily people who we have heard about or played in the national squad.
UP Warriors, again, similarly, Alisa Healy, Talia McGraw, Shabnam Ismail in terms of pace from South Africa, Shweta Sarawat, who performed well in the Under-19s World Cup opening. Laurel Bell, Rajeshwari Gaikwad, again, obviously playing. Sophie Eccleston, she's a good spinner for England. Deepti Sharma, they've got a decent squad as well. And Delhi obviously picked up Jemima Rodriguez and Shefali Verma to open. Alice Capsey, Radha Yadav.
McGlanning,
Marizan Kapp, Shikha Pandey, Pace, Poonam Yadav.
Delhi seem to have a good team. Poonam Yadav. Yes, Neha, Deepti, I think. Yeah, they've got a really good this thing.
Yeah. I'm not sure who'd support, Obviously, no Chennai Super Kings for us. So it's a case of
geographically
closure would be RCB, but obviously we can't support RCB. It's a bit in the English Premier League, Derby rivalry, so you can't pick RCB. It's a shame Smriti Mandana has gone there. Yeah. Again, RCB and MI are probably two teams you play the El Clasico or the Derbies and stuff like that. So you can't pick those two.
Tough choice. I would probably go to Delhi. They have a good team. They can be, Let's see. I'm excited about how it turns out and how, it's conducted, what's the fan following is going to be like. And it's very exciting for women's cricket. All we have to wait and watch is how it will be received by the fans.
So that's the ones to look forward to. So, I think Amoy, you're right. I might go for Delhi probably as my pick of the team. It'd be interesting to see, I didn't quite follow in terms of the unsold players. Probably would have been to see, who didn't quite get sold.
I saw a couple of, big names, if you know what I mean. Daniel Byatt was not picked.
Daniel Byatt, Tammy Beaumont, that's a big surprise for me, how she didn't pick up. I know Freya Davis, again, especially if those who had followed the 100 and with the likes of Freya Davis and Tammy Beaumont and all, it's definitely a surprise.
It's totally surprising how that didn't happen. I think it's also to do with the cost ratio, in terms of how much they have spent and the team makeup. I think we just had a look at that aspect in the men's IPL, that there were some shocking omissions, and only because of the team makeup and what people have specific roles to perform, and you can't just go ahead and shoehorn somebody just because they are a good player. But I would think that people would have been more adventurous in here than anywhere else, because it's just the first installment of it.
There are definitely a few surprises there for me. Chamari Attapattu from Sri Lanka,
not
being picked, that's a surprise. Alana King, again, she's like, must have been when India toured, or might have been the Ashes, the England versus Women's Ashes.
Yeah.
She bowled one of those deliveries that, remembered.
Yeah.
And won. They are a bit of a surprise for me. But again, as you say, like, you know, there is also the challenge of how many overseas players can you have and how many overseas can you actually play. So you look at there is that challenge, you know, unlike
absolutely
the IPL, you know, in women's cricket, there is, other than the kind of the top 11, 15, 20 Indian players, you know, you don't know, but you need more Indian players. So teams would have to go with, you know, that one. But yeah, exciting, you know, looking forward to, like, you know, start of the tournament on the 4th of March. But quite a bit of cricket to be played before that, as you said, like, you know, the next one.
World Cup is first, test match, test series is next. I mean,
yeah, India versus West Indies next, and then followed by on Friday, the India versus Australia in Delhi. We'll look forward to that. So, yeah, as usual, you know, our request is always to, like, you know, just subscribe and follow us wherever you download your podcast from, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, etc. Do leave your ratings and comments. And we are on Twitter. Do interact with us on Twitter. Until next week, look forward to speaking to you soon. Have a good one, guys.